I'm taking you back in time here. This is a story about something that happened to me in 1970. I'm very old, so this is 1970 in Nicaragua. Okay, in 1970, Somoza was still in charge of the country, meaning that there were Somoza and his family were completely rich, and everybody else was dirt poor. This is setting the scene. Now, I was living in a place called Tasbapony. In order to get to Tasbapony, you had to take a bus from Managua that was about an eight-hour bus trip to a place called Rama. Once you were in Rama, you had to get on a boat and take the boat 6 to 8 hours to a place called Bluefields. And that's really the only way to get to the east coast of Nicaragua. There's no roads because it's all rainforest. Once you get to Bluefields, in order to get to Tasbapony, you had to get on another boat, which was somewhat rickety. It was probably about 30 feet long, and usually it was packed, so you had about as much space as a chair right here in the audience. There were no bathrooms on this boat. If you had to go, you had to basically lean over the edge. The boat ride took about 12 hours if the motor worked the entire time. And most of the time, it did break down for some portion of that trip. The longest time I ever spent on that boat was 24 hours. And if the boat started leaking somewhere, they would take a piece of styrofoam and pour kerosene on it, and it would turn to goo and plug the hole. So this was really making do. Now, then after that boat ride, that second boat ride, you could get to this little place called Tasbapony. Now, I'm just setting the stage here. That's the stage. So this is where I'm living. Now, this town is on the ocean. It is only reachable by boat. It has no roads. It's just a group of about maybe 30 houses right on the coast. You catch what you can from the ocean to eat. You hunt. You live on what you got right there or what you can pay to bring in, which is not much because it costs a lot. So early in my life there, like when I'd been there a week, I had a knock on the door from a little boy who said, "Can you come over to my house? We have a real problem." I said, "Sure." Went over there, and here is this little, probably 8-year-old boy who is lying in bed, delirious. He has been bitten by a poisonous snake. And the thinking was, you're an American, you ought to be able to fix him, right? Well, when I came there, I was given a snake bite kit that was very official looking, very army looking. So I thought, well, sure, I've got a snake bite kit. So I ran home and I got my snake bite kit and I brought it back to this house and I said, I've got this snake bite kit. We can figure this out. So I opened it up and it's a big old syringe about this big. I mean, old-fashioned glass kind. Of course, this was 1970. I guess they all were at those days. But at any rate, then I pulled out the instructions. And it was two sides of a paper this long in the finest print possible. So I started reading and reading and reading. And basically what it said is, this might help you. But it might also kill you because so many people are allergic to the actual serum itself. So you really need to do a little skin test before you actually inject the whole thing. But the skin test could also kill you. So at this point, I'm thinking, what am I going to do? The kid's delirious, really unconscious, just delirious. Blood has started coming out of his ears and out of his eyes. And I am scared to death. What is going to happen here? I've got this thing that might kill him, but he looks to me like he's not far from death right now. So I figured, what the heck? Let's do it. and I inject him with this snake bite venom. So then I think, well, let me read the rest of the instructions. Sadly, way down at the bottom, it says, this antidote is only good for about 6 hours and needs to be repeated every 6 hours until the person comes out of it. Well, you remember the distance between where I am and where the hospital is, which is in Bluefields. And I'm thinking, oh, we got a big problem here. What's going to happen? And at that point, there's all this hullabaloo behind me, and all the people are saying, no, it's not going to work. I said, well, what's going on? They said, well, this snake doctor refuses to treat this child now that you've touched him. And I said, what snake doctor? What are you talking about? They said, oh, well, these snake doctors have herbal medicines that can deal with all these poisonous snakes, but he won't get near this child now that you've injected that poison in him. So then I'm thinking, well, this is a fine time to tell me this. I didn't know there was such a thing as a snake doctor. And now this kid is lying here dead, and the one person who probably can heal him won't touch him. So that's my dilemma. So I said, well, I think the best action is to get him on the boat to Bluefields and hope, like God, he makes it. Well, that's what they did. They got him on the boat to Bluefields. They got him in the hospital, and he actually did survive. I don't know if it was because of this fancy medicine or what, but thank God he survived. It was a pretty low for me.